morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. My name is Tiana, and welcome back to another episode of From the Field to the Track. As always, I am joined by my lovely co-host and best friend, Katie. And today we are joined by a very, very special guest, Marley. So Marley and Katie, how are you today?
Yeah, it's cold. That's all I can say. It's really cold.
Melbourne weather, man. I could not survive.
It's something else. It really is.
Katie, how are you?
I am peachy. I've woken up in a great mood today, and I can't wait to do this podcast episode. I texted Tiana this morning. I said, I'm so excited. Tiana, are you feeling excited too?
I'm so excited. I am hyped. I am excited. I am all the rest, slaying as per usual, if you will. So, before we get on to what we're actually talking about today, Marley, do you want to introduce yourself to the podcast? Who are you? How'd you get into Formula One? All the good stuff.
Of course. As we all know, my name's Marley. Nice to meet you guys. I have a TikTok account called Formula One Fever, which isn't too big, but, you know, I'm growing. I'm getting there. What else to say, you know? Oh, I got into Formula One. Actually, not many people know this because I say that I got into Formula One through my dad, but I actually got into Formula One on TikTok because I saw an edit of one of the drivers, and I was like, oh my god, stop. And it was right in time for the Singapore Grand Prix last year. So, not last year, the year before. So that's how I got into Formula One. But I just tell everyone it was my dad because he used to watch it when I was little.
You have a similar story to me. Like, that's exactly what I tell people because it was because of my dad when it was actually because of the Lando Norris edit. So we will have to, we are essentially going down the same path. But yes, so Marley, I will obviously leave all of the links at everything on the screen, whatever. Yes. It'll all be there so you can follow her. Make sure you go and check her out because absolutely amazing. I love her stuff. Even though that she hates Taylor Swift, but that's okay. That's another thing. We digress. But Katie, what are we talking about on today's episode of From the Field to the Track?
Well, I heard a little birdie news on the streets is that Formula One's going somewhere where it hasn't been in a long time. So I thought we'd touch on that. We just thought we'd do a little bit of a preview episode for the Chinese Grand Prix.
Yeah. It is so exciting. So I really want to get both of your kind of overall thoughts of, like, are you excited? Your general consensus of the race weekend so far. Obviously, it is the first time we're going to be back in China from 2019. And for reference, this is how much has changed since the last Chinese Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton had 5 championships. Max Verstappen had 5 wins. Danny Ric was just beginning his time at Renault. And Fernando Alonso had just retired. There has also been a few regulation changes since 2019 as well. We now have 18-inch tyres. F1 sprints are a thing. And an F1 sprint is going to be held at China, which is crazy. And there is a minimum car weight of 796 kilograms, which is 2 kilos lighter than in 2019, which is crazy, but it would affect the drivers a lot more. Obviously, we have drivers like Logan Sargeant, Zhou Guan Yu, and Oscar Piastri, who this will be their first ever race in China. So, Marley, then Katie, what are your thoughts on this weekend? Are you excited? Let me know.
I'm actually really excited. This will be my first Chinese Grand Prix because I joined after the last one, so it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I was watching actually a lot of like highlights from previous years because I was like, I don't know what this track's got in store for us. But I've seen a lot of incidents, a lot of like late braking, so I'm kind of excited for that. I feel like it's going to be really close, and especially because the drivers haven't been on the track for a while, so I already know that they're going to be on the sim a lot leading up to the race. So it'll be definitely interesting. I'm really excited for it, actually.
Yeah, Katie, you?
There is nothing I love more than a home race for a driver, and it's a home race for a driver. So very excited for Zhou Guan Yu. All in all, I actually. Unpopular opinion, but I quite like a sprint race weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. As I kind of said at the top of the show, just looking forward to the Chinese Grand Prix in general.
No, fair enough. I think, like you said, we've had actually 3 back to, I don't know if this has happened in my memory, it hasn't happened for a while, but we've had 3 back-to-back home races for drivers. Obviously, we started in Australia with Oscar Piastri, then we went to Japan, went to Suzuka, Yuki Tsunoda, and now we're going to China, and we're with Zhou Guan Yu. And I think something... Yes, go, Katie.
It was also Daniel's home race.
Oh, yes, it was Daniel Ricciardo's home race. Sorry, guys. Sorry, you can... There's also a photo of Daniel Ricciardo in the background as well, so that makes this entire situation a lot worse. But, yes. But anyways, I think something that is so important, obviously, the crowds from the last Chinese Grand Prix are going to be way more intense. Like, I think that's something that's really important as well. Like, in 2019, we didn't have a Chinese driver on the grid. Now we do. And I think, although in China, per se, motorsport or Formula One is not as big as it is in somewhere like Suzuka, in, like, Japan, in, like, Imola, and places like that, we're still going to get a good turnout. And I love, like Katie said, a home race. And I hope, for Zhou Guanyu's sake, that Sauber do well this weekend, because they have been putting in some horrific race weekends, to say the least. And I am excited. But, as, you know what? Katie is a Ferrari fan. I am a McLaren fan. Marley is, we'll say she's an Aston fan, right? But out of the three of us, two of our teams are going to dearly struggle this weekend because of the long straights in China. If you did not hear Lance Stroll's, like, radio message in Japan, I don't know what you were doing, but essentially, the word on the street is that McLaren and Aston are going to really struggle this weekend. And Marley, how are you feeling about that? How are you feeling about the fact that Aston and McLaren aren't going to slay this weekend, or aren't going to slay as hard as we think?
Well, you know, as a certified Lance Stroll supporter, I'm actually really heartbroken. And obviously, because, like, you know, Lando Norris got to get in there. I'm still hoping for his first win this year. Might not happen. You never know. But, you know, hoping and praying. But yeah. I'm actually, yeah, it's not going to be a fun race, I don't think, for them. I think, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go about it. I think they're just going to aim for points, and they're not going to try and aim for a podium. I think points is all they're going to try for.
Yeah, I think that, like, they have to set their expectations somewhat realistic for this round. And I think, obviously, for the past few rounds, for both Aston and for McLaren, their goal has been ultimately to get on the podium, as we saw with Lando in Australia. But, like, they had the third and, I think, fifth? I don't know. I think they're the third and fourth best team on the grid currently. And so anything less than a podium by their expectations is not great, like, in the terms of that. But then you also look at teams, like, they have not had that much time. Like, if you think about how McLaren have come up and how Aston have come up, they were fighting for points for a large chunk of a lot of season. So it's not like something where they, like, someone like Ferrari or someone like Red Bull, who have a car that is suited towards majority of tracks, and we don't see too many weekends like this where it's like they have a horrific weekend. But we also are saying they will have a horrific weekend. But then we also have to remember the fact that this is a brand new track for a lot of drivers. And the track is, like, obviously, some of the drivers have driven this track, but it's been 5 years. Like, you can do all the sim work you want. You can do all the work that you want. And it's just going to be a battle of the inexperience and the experience. And it's going to be a fun time. But like I mentioned before, Katie and I do love sprint races. We are sprint race fans. We love them. But how are we feeling about the fact that after 5 years, the first time you're going back to a Grand Prix track, it is a sprint race, meaning that they only get 1 hour of free practice, and then they throw in straight into the cars for quali, and then the next day they wake up, sprint race quali, then we have the sprint race, and then the race. So they really don't have that much time to be practicing or learning the track. So do you think that's going to cause some kind of chaos? Do we think we'll see, like, a grid shake-up? Or do you think that Max Verstappen's inevitably going to put it on pole and Checo's going to be P2? We'll go Katie, then Marley.
Well, I think they always bring us something special. But I do still think that Max will get on pole. We'll get to that later. I still think Max will get on pole. Max will win it. Boring. But I think that there might be a little bit of chaos because of that, like, one practice session, the quali, blah, 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 blah. I think we'll be looking at some crashing, some drivers doing some just daredevil shit and just being like, well, they'll fix it. I mean, doing some daredevil things, and and they'll be like, oh, well, the cadets can fix it for tomorrow.
Yeah, Marley, you?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I think a lot of people will probably prioritize getting... I know that, like, sprint races don't give many points, but they'll probably prioritize trying to get best positions in sprint, just because it might be where they get the most. I think teams like Red Bull and, like, Ferrari will probably try and prioritize the race. I don't know about Ferrari. I know that sometimes they prioritize sprint over race, stupidly. Yeah. But I don't know, it would be interesting. I think Williams are definitely one to look out for as well with their recent track history. That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, it has been confirmed that Williams will once again no longer have a chassis for this race. The other team on the grid that did not have a chassis in Japan was Alpine, funnily enough. They really probably don't need the extra weight on their car at that point because their car is so overweight. And the struggles for Alpine were just going to continue because genuinely their car does not look fast and it does not look like it's going to be a very fun time for Pierre Gasly or Esteban Ocon when they are in China this time around because of how overweight their car is and how hard it is to drive at the moment. But yeah, I don't know. I think, like you said, the sprint race to me, I don't think we're going to see the same race twice as Max Verstappen likes to say. In a sprint race weekend, we're guilty of seeing the same race unfold twice because Max Verstappen ends up winning both of them, right? But I reckon we might have a different sprint race winner to our feature race winner, if we will. I reckon that might be the cause. I think that we're going to see a lot of shake-up happening in the grid because of the inexperience. Maybe we see some experienced people crash, I don't know. But I think that it's going to be a very promising weekend, to be fair. And I'm excited for it. I'm hyped. And I really hope that it promises to be a good race weekend, actually. Like, I think that's going to be good track. I can't even speak. Also, like we mentioned, it's Zhou Guanyu's home race weekend. We love home race weekends. Three home races in a row. This is the third one. How are you feeling for Zhou Guanyu? Do you think this is going to be an exciting part? Obviously, last season, he was so close to getting that home race. And then obviously, at the very last second, the Chinese Grand Prix could no longer go ahead, therefore. But it is going ahead this year, and everyone is excited for Zhou Guanyu. We have always seen his special helmets. Where do you think that Zhou Guanyu is going to finish? Do you think that he's going to have a good race, a bad race, a mediocre race because Sauber is not that great at the moment? We'll go Katie then Marley. Let me know your predictions for Zhou Guanyu's race.
I reckon Stake F1 is going to try get their pit stops under 3 seconds, which will be nice. Yeah, it'll be good. I think they'll pull out some fast pit stops for him. As you said he's the king of having the most gorgeous helmets. And that's really all I'm looking forward to seeing is the helmet design. I don't think
he did. Yeah, he did. Hold on, let me get it up. I saw it on my feet. Hold on.
Good. I can't wait to see it. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. But I just think that. Oh yeah, it's beautiful. Good on him. And something about
it's got him. And I'm sorry. And then it's got him. It's like a baby picture of him on the back.
Oh wait, that's cute.
So special. I think there's something about drivers being home. Sorry for our Spotify listeners there. Challenge yeah. A picture of Joe's helmet. When you guys are free, just go on his Instagram.
Just go on his Instagram.
Anyway, I just think there's something about drivers being at home that gives them that extra little bit of juice. And I'd love to see what the Chinese fans, because I can just imagine they'll be really excited to have a race there again. So I think it'll be really cool to see that happen.
Yeah. Marley, you?
No, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but the last few seasons, like last season, this season, I know their car's pretty bad, but he's not been making many places from what you see. Like, I think last race he was down at the bottom, like majority of it, until he did he DNF? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he did.
And I don't know if that was like mechanical stuff or it's there. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I don't know. There is like Katie said, there is stuff about like home races like just give that like morale for the drivers. But sometimes it's just not enough. You know what I mean? Like Daniel Ricciardo with his home races, he's not been hitting the mark. But I'm hoping to see a lot from him, to be honest, because it'd be like nice if we get another repetition of, is that a word? I don't even know. Repeat of Yuki with Japan, where he got his points in Japan for the first time. Like, I think that would be nice to see, even if it's just one singular point. Like, it honestly doesn't even matter, just as long as he gets the point.
Oh, we'll be stoked. Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think it's... No, like, his first points at home.
Yeah.
Of the season.
Yeah, he hasn't... I don't think anyone from Haas down hasn't scored points. Haas, Williams, or Stake have not scored points this season.
Rather unfortunate.
And AlphaTauri has a single point. From Yuki Tsunoda. No, he doesn't have a single point. He has 7 points. Sorry. I beg to differ. All the 7 points are from Yuki Tsunoda because he got 6 points in Australia. I remember now. But yeah, I really hope... I agree with you, Molly. Like, I think it's really hard for me. I really like Joe when he was a driver. I think that he was a really good driver, especially... I've watched his Formula 2 highlights, his Formula 3 highlights and stuff like that. He is a really good driver, in my opinion, and it just sucks that Sauber have not been able to get that car right. But even when you do, you see the performances between him and Valtteri. They're not far off of each other at all. They're not like... like, Valtteri's P3 and then, like, Joe is, like, P20. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. when they do finish in the points, it's, like, one of them. I don't know if they've had a double points finish. I don't know if they had one last year, but I don't think they did. And it's hard for them, and especially this year when they're getting their... obviously, their pit stops suck because their wheel gun sizes, the wheel nut sizes aren't the same. Aren't right or whatever, right? So that means that they're already spending about 5 seconds in the pit, just stationary in the pit stop, meaning that your pit stop is now like 23 seconds or 30 seconds long, meaning essentially Max Verstappen can lead and then everyone can come behind. That's the gap between their pit stops. That's how long their pit stops are taking. And I think hopefully, fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything crossed, we get a 2 second pit stop, a sub 2 second pit stop for the sake of Zhou Guanyu, because he really needs it. He really needs a home luck. And like Katie said, I think there is something special about when home drivers enter their home Grand Prix, because they just get this overwhelming sense of that. I used to be sitting in those stands and hoping that this was me, and now it is me. And it's like surreal in a way almost. And you don't get a crowd. Obviously, like, people love Max Verstappen, people like Charles Leclerc, but they don't get like a home crowd reception. Like when Charles Leclerc goes to Monaco, or when like Max Verstappen goes to Zandvoort, like, you know that you are the ultimate favorite of everyone there. So I think that, but anyways, I hope that he has a good race. Maybe, like Molly said, maybe a single point, P10. I really hope that he does. Maybe we'll have to get some good luck. We'll send him some good luck. But I want to talk about something that wasn't to do with the Chinese Grand Prix, but I just thought of it as we were speaking, because Molly mentioned AlphaTauri, and now it sparked something in me. So I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. I can't put that now, but you both of you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that Sky Sports, that damn Sky Sports 2025 rumored F1 grid, where the grid was so laughable, it was hilarious to me. Like, why are we putting, like, there was no Zhou, like, this was the grid, if you have not seen it, I'll put a photo, but there was no Zhou Guanyu, there was no Zhou Guanyu, there was no Valtteri Bottas, there was no Daniel Ricciardo, there was no Yuki Tsunoda, there was no Logan Sargeant, and to replace them all, we put in Kimi Antonelli, Ollie Bearman, Jack Doohan, Isaac Hadjar, Zane Maloney, Liam Lawson, and Jack Doohan. Like, okay, I need your thoughts. Obviously, we do have a lot of drivers coming off contract this season. Obviously, we do know that there are a few drivers who probably aren't going to stay on that grid, and I know that a lot of people's seats have been very widely talked about at the moment, but I want to talk in particular about the AlphaTauri lineup for next season. Do you think that Yuki Tsunoda keeps his seat, and do you think that Daniel Ricciardo keeps his seat? We'll go Molly, then Katie.
It's a hard one. I think I do see Yuki keeping his seat, just because he's been putting in the points. I know it's only like, our fifth race this season. Yeah. But Yuki has been putting in, you know, the points and the progression. But Daniel Ricciardo has been giving them a lot of information about the car and how to improve it. Like, they've said themselves, like, in interviews, he's been giving them a lot of information about what they can do to the car. And they've both said themselves that the car's just not suited for him. Like, he can't get used to it. There's a lot of issues with it that he just really can't get used to. So it'll be, I think, the whole AlphaTauri V-Carb, whatever you choose to call it, lineup is definitely going to be the one to, I would say, look out for. But I do see, if Daniel's not in the seat, I do see Liam taking his place. Just because he's shown, I hope it's not another Nick de Vries situation where he shows all this potential and then it kind of just goes backwards for him. But I do see it happening, as much as I like Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah. That's fair enough, actually. I like that. I like that take. Katie?
Yeah.
I think that
Yuki's definitely not leaving Visa Cash App Racing Bulls.
I hate that name so much. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I don't think he's... I think he's definitely keeping his seat. I think that Liam is doing the wee swapperoo with our boy Danny Rick. And...
Yep.
I don't know about Red Bull, to be fair with you.
I don't know.
Hot take, but I think Max Verstappen might stay.
Wow. Oh my god, that's the hottest take I've ever heard. Mind-blowing.
Mind-boggling. I'm like...
Never saw that one coming.
Nope. Stop. How can you predict the future? How can you predict the future? It's not even like he has like a long-term contract signed for like 2028. Like, I don't even know. But like, yeah, I think, you know what sucks? What makes me mad about that Sky Sports thing was if Yuki Tsunoda was underperforming by this, but like, if say we put Yuki in Daniel's spot, like Yuki in Daniel's spot, Daniel in Yuki's spot, in the sense that Daniel has scored the only team's points in Australia and in Japan, every single person and their mother, especially Sky Sports, would be putting Daniel Ricciardo in that seat at Red Bull alongside Max Verstappen. But because he's not, we're gonna kick out him and Yuki from the grid. And I know that Yuki has like an association to Honda, but that's also not the sole reason that he got put into Formula One. Like, yes, he has the thing with Honda, but also he is a very talented driver, and he proved that throughout his Formula 2 and Formula 3 career. Like, genuinely is a very talented driver, and although we know that Yuki has a temper, Yuki's also a good driver when he does not have his temper, or when he actually can put that in check and actually do things well. Like, I don't know, I think it's just, it's mind-blowing to me. And what else is mind-blowing to me is the fact that we just threw an Isaac Hadjar in there. Let's just rewind to Bahrain, or rather in Jeddah, when your teammate is making his Formula 2 debut and absolutely overtake, like, pulls one of the best overtakes that we've seen on you and absolutely outperforms you and now is sitting higher than you in the standings. And then you Hadjar takes out his own teammate in Australia, but he gets a seat over this teammate. Okay. Like, there are so, like, it's so out of my mind. Like, if you're going to put another... It is so, like, I can't understand it. I literally sat there, I was looking at it, like, I love Zayn Maloney and I love Isaac Hadjar, but what are we doing? What are we doing? Because if you look at someone like Zayn Maloney has been killing in Formula 2. He does deserve that Formula 1 seat. But also Teo Pourchaire is sitting there in Super Formula. Like, what about me? Because I won F2 last year and I'm not getting a seat anytime soon, but Zayn Maloney is ahead of me in that, like, I don't know. Junior academies will never fail to amaze me with how they treat their junior drivers and stuff like that. But I really think that I agree with both of you in saying that Daniel Ricciardo is not going to be in the grid next year, as much as that pains me to say. I just think his time in Formula One has ultimately come to a close, and I think maybe Daniel is starting to realize that. Maybe Christian Horner is starting to realize that. Maybe a lot of people in Red Bull, a lot of people in Formula One are starting to realize that as well. They're like, look, we love Daniel. We really think that he's a good driver. He has so much potential, but it's just hard now when you have people like Liam Lawson and like Naomi Osaka and all these Red Bull Junior drivers just queuing up and to take a seat in Formula One. And you're going to have someone like Max Verstappen who's signed long-term. And look, realistically, you don't want to lose Liam Lawson. You don't want to risk to lose Liam Lawson in the same fate that like Alpine lost Oscar Piastri. Do you know what I mean? I think, yeah, that's probably a big thing. But anyways, 2025, silly season. Genuinely, it's a wild time. And I'm here for the ride because I love the rumors. I love the silliness. It's all so funny. But now on to our podium predictions for the Chinese Grand Prix. So Katie and Molly, what are your podium predictions? Who do you think is... Well, give me a sprint race podium and give me a normal race podium. Do you think they're going to be the same? We'll go Katie, then Molly.
Okay. Max, Charles, because he's got a baby to race for now. I feel like we should maybe talk about that later.
Oh, he's got yeah, we child. Should.
Max, Charles, Chico, and then
yeah.
Race. Max, Chico, Carlos.
Okay, I like that variation. I'm a fan. I like that. Molly, you?
Sorry, my laptop keeps freezing.
That's okay. We were just asking for your predictions.
Okay. For sprint, I'm going to go out there, like really out there. P1, Max Verstappen. That's really out there, by the way, guys.
Whoa. Really out there. How did you guess that?
I can see the future. P2, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. It's very, because you've got so many rookies for the track on there, it'll be hard to predict where they'll come. But I'm just going to go Lando Norris, P2.
Yep.
P3, I'm going to say two choices, Carlos, Charles, or Checo. Those are my three for P3, because, yeah, they're more likely. For the race, I'm going to say Max, Charles, and Checo. There we go.
That's a stunning race prediction, actually. I like both of those. I think they're both realistic. Now, who would I be if I was not unrealistic and stirred the pot a bit on this podcast? It would be boring as. So, my sprint race prediction is we're going to have a no Red Bull podium. I predict maybe a cheeky little Max Verstappen gets taken out into turn one during the sprint race. That's what I'm predicting. And then maybe George Russell might, actually. And also, because I think that Aston Martin and McLaren are going to be slow, there is only one logical choice for the next people who are going to win the race. So I say Charles Leclerc wins the race in the sprint race. And we get some new people on the podium. I say Yuki Tsunoda on the podium in the sprint race, because that's definitely happening. And maybe Checo P3.
Thought you were going to say last girl, and I got really excited.
No, I think Max is going in turn one, and then like Lando and the Aston and the McLaren drama just not happening, because their car is going to be unbearably slow throughout this entire weekend. I can already hear the complaining in my mind. If I was like on the flight right now to Shanghai, I would be dreading it if I was like the McLaren pit wall people, because I would just be like, I don't want to deal with this. Like the McLaren and the Aston pit wall people, I'd be like, nah, I can already see it. If I was the only person I would want to be like pit wall engineer would be Oscars, because the rest of the three of them would be absolutely losing their mind complaining, and Oscar would just be like, the car is slow, can't do it.
Yeah, that's so true. I wouldn't want to be Lance Stroll's engineer purely because I don't want to listen to that radio again.
The car is so slow, man. Yes, Lance, we can see the car is slow. What exactly do you want us to do about that? We can't fix that. Do apologize. But I do think for the feature race, the actual race, we're going to see the exact same podium that we've seen in Jeddah, in Bahrain, and in Tokyo. Max Verstappen P1, Sergio Perez P2, Carlos Sainz P3. Carlos Sainz becomes the... Imagine if we went through the entire race season seeing that podium only. I think that would be hilarious. But that won't happen, but it might. Anyways, before we get on to everyone's favourite part of the episode, Katie has reminded me of something that we should most definitely speak about. Charles Leclerc, new father, has a new kid, if you will. I don't know. He has a dog named Leo.
This has dropped that. Charles Leclerc has become a father. He's also started a side hustle in order to fund his new child. So he's got Leo, who's a little handbag dog. He like carries him around like he's an accessory. I always see
TikTok. I am purse.
It's must be a purse. He has purse.
Leo is purse.
It's so cute. I just think it's so cute, and the Instagram post and oh.
Like, he
is
so cute.
I hope he brings him.
And the way that Alex carries him everywhere, it's so funny.
It's so cute.
And he's like biting Alex's dress. It's actually hilarious.
I saw a comment that was like, I think it's irresponsible of Charles to get a dog. And I was like, whoa, that's very outlandish.
Do those people realize that Charles Leclerc is not the only person that lives in Monaco and his family, in the sense that his entire family is Monegasque and his mum lives in Monaco full time? And when his mum's not in Monaco, he's got another brother who lives in Monaco, who has a girlfriend who is a dentist in Monaco, so she's not going anywhere. So therefore, the dog is always going to have a home. The dog will be fine. Like, when he's traveling the world.
You see that? What's his name? Is it Joris?
Yeah, Joris.
He, like, commented on the TikTok. He commented on Charles's recent post, like, adding puppy sitter to my CV.
Yeah, like, he's like, if you know anything, he's now the Wag of the Year, the Paddock Talks Wag of the Year, which is hilarious because he posted a photo with the trophy as well. And he was, like, he was so proud of his trophy. He was so proud of his moment. But, yeah, he's a Wag of the Year, but he's also the dog sitter. I don't know what, like, he's just the personal assistant of Charles Leclerc at this point. Like, yeah. Charles Leclerc better be paying him good, but also at the end of the day, you're just traveling the world with Charles Leclerc, so that would be great. Just like
the besties that travel the world together,
exactly. Like, yeah, like
so many foul people commenting on his TikTok, like, do you need another dog?
Another dog,
like, I volunteer.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, it's kind of concerning.
Someone commented. I saw one of the comments, and it was like, "Can he bark like I can?" And I was like, "Whoa! It is 6 a.m. What are we doing?"
Oh my god, concerning.
And people like I don't know, like, people. You know what's funny to me? I often have this conversation, and I'm often like to people, like, why do people like tag their friends and leave the most out of pocket comments? Like, if you're gonna leave an out of pocket comment, leave the out-of-pocket in the DMs. Like, you know you can send posts to your friends, right? Like, you don't have to be putting them in the main comment section for everyone to be seen. But anyways, each to their own. I'm not going to judge you. I will judge you silently. But, okay, now, it's on to everyone's favorite part of the episode. Katie, take it away.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your guys' favorite part of the podcast. It is time for the drive of your life. You haven't played this game yet, Marley, but let me tell you how it works. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question about a drive of your life. And, today's drive of your life question is, since we're going to a track that we haven't been to in a while, my question for you guys today is, which track that's not on the current calendar would you like a driver that's not on the current grid to drive you around? I'm going to give you some examples of tracks that are not in use anymore.
I've got mine in my head.
Paul Ricard, Hockenheim, Fuji, Adelaide. We'll go Marley, Tiana, me.
Okay. As a previous Adelaidean, I don't even know if that's the word. I'm going to go with Adelaide. And my driver would be... Oh gosh, this is a hard one. I'm gonna go Sebastian Vettel, just because he seems like a really, really cool dude, and I'm just, I just want to talk about bees with him. Bees.
Save the bees.
But yeah, I'd go Adelaide with Sebastian Vettel.
Real question though. Do you think that Sebastian Vettel really likes the bee movie? Do you think that in his spare time he's watched and watches the B-movie?
Do you think he refers to himself as Barry B. Benson?
Sorry, you froze. What did you say?
Oh! Sorry, I was like, do you think he refers to himself as Barry B. Benson?
Oh, you froze again?
I'm just not gonna talk now.
This is like that one episode that we filmed, and like every time Charlotte opened her mouth to say something, she dropped out. It was so funny. But yeah, no. What were you saying? You think he refers to himself as?
I'm scared to speak now. Oh my god.
Well, now go.
Okay. Do you think he refers to himself as Barry B. Benson?
Yes. Surely. Sebastian something Vettel, like, yeah, he'll definitely be doing that, like, you know what? Anyways, okay, now on to my person. My ring would have to be Nürburgring, because I love Germany. Nürburgring. I don't know how to say it properly, but the track in Germany, it's like the longest one. Yeah. And the person I would want to drive me around wasn't an XF1 driver, but we'll call him an XF2 driver, Max Futrell. Because I watched that, because I've been on a quadrant watching spree in the past few days, and I was watching that one episode where he drove that little tiny car around Nürburgring, and I was like, well, now, like, Max Futrell would be genuinely one of the funniest people to drive you on, to take you on hot laps, so that's my answer. And it's the longest track that was ever on the F1 calendar, so that's my answer. Katie, what's yours?
Probably Hockenheim, Sebastian Vettel.
I like that. I think that's a good, yeah. I don't know. I like that you both chose Sebastian Vettel and I was like Max Futrell.
Just like not even a bang by the rules. Just like, oh,
no, yeah. I literally was like, you said any driver past or present. So I said like any driver past or present.
Any driver that's not on the grid.
Yeah, he's not on the grid. Max Futrell is not, because he never was on the grid. The only way we will power on is through delusion. But now we've come to the end of the From the Field to the Track episode. I want to say a huge thank you and a shout out to Molly for joining us in this very special episode and dealing with all of our shenanigans, because we really just like throw it out there and hope that it all works out in the end, but it does. And we are so grateful and thankful for you for joining us on the podcast, and make sure to like and subscribe to keep up to date with From the Field to the Track, and we hope you enjoy the Chinese Grand Prix. Enjoy the rest of your day. We love you. Bye.